In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said to them, "The light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become sons of light. Whoever believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And whoever sees me sees him who sent me. I came into this world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness." Jesus is the sole light in this dark, dark world. And Jesus, the sole light in this world, walks through the darkness of this world on a singular path. If we would serve him, if we would be with him where he is, we must follow him. If we fall back from following him, who is the light, if we stop following him, if we cringe back from him, then the darkness will overtake us as he continues on taking the light with him. If we follow him all the way, we will see where that path leads. But if we do not follow him all the way, we who were once in darkness before that light came to us will be swallowed by darkness once again. But why? Why would we not follow him who is the only light in the world? Why would we let that light pass us by and be enveloped by darkness once more? Why? Because of what that light reveals of the way ahead. The only way ahead. The single path forward into which Jesus unswervingly leads us. The way of the cross. Where I am, there will my servant be also. We're happy to follow Jesus to the glories that we imagine, the glories of man, a conquering king, a beloved leader, a worshipped Messiah. But the glory of God is a king with a crown of thorns. Is that what you would have your God wear? Is that the destiny to which you would follow him? As the Apostle Thomas said not long before, "Let us go so that we may die with him." And die with him you have, so that you may live with him. For those with eyes to see, the path ahead of Jesus that week was as clear as day. At the beginning of chapter 12, we hear that the night before, Jesus was at dinner table in Bethany, at the house of Mary and Martha. Mary and Martha, whose brother Lazarus, Jesus had just raised from the dead. At dinner that night, Mary came with a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of that perfume. Judas balked at the waste of this because it could have been sold for a great amount and be given to the poor. Not that Judas cared for the poor, because he was a thief that helped himself to the money bag. No, Jesus, the light, exposes that the purpose behind this, the truth behind this, is that she was keeping it for the day of his burial. She was preparing him for his death. Because the only way that Jesus could have won life for Lazarus is by taking his place in the tomb. The procession into Jerusalem the next day is not as the crowds would imagine it, a royal procession towards victory, but a funeral procession towards victory. They see Jesus coming, and they had wanted him to be their king for a long time. They saw the signs, and they interpret it to understand that God was keeping his promise to bring them a good leader. Here comes the new Moses to provide for us in the wilderness, to make sure that we're not conquered by our enemies. Here comes the new son of David, more glorious than Solomon, who will conquer all of the Gentile nations and bring the whole world under God's rule, so that they all live according to God's law, or else. Here comes the man who's going to give us a good life, a happy life. And so they happily strew his way with palm branches, the sign of a victorious king. Hosanna, they say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. They're quoting the Psalms there, Psalm 118. Hosanna, save us now, it says. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. If they paid attention, they would remember that the next part of that psalm speaks, "We bless you from the house of the Lord," the temple, as if they're calling you forward, calling you on, bring up to the altar the festal sacrifice. It's a funeral procession to victory, as Christ, the final sacrifice, to end all sacrifices, to atone for all sin, is on his way. The ones who were at Lazarus's tomb when he came out continued to bear witness that this man is the life giver. Look, he called Lazarus out of the tomb. But they could not see what the price of that life was that Jesus would pay. Even now the Gentiles were recognizing that Jesus is a Savior. Sir, they say to Philip, we want to see Jesus. Jesus recognizes it as the whole world now coming to him. This is the hour for the Son of Man to be glorified, and the way that he will be glorified involves his death. As a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it dies so that it may produce much fruit, bring life for the future. His soul is troubled. And for what shall I say, he says, Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I have come to this hour. For this purpose I came to the world. For this purpose I will be lifted up, to draw all men to myself. The whole world has gone out after Jesus so that Jesus may take all the sins of the world, all the evils of this world, onto himself and swallow them. No. Father, glorify your name. And the answer from heaven? The thunder from the clouds above? I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. Now that's curious. When did God glorify his name before? Remember, all the way back in the book of Exodus, chapter 33 and 34, Moses was on the mountain speaking to the Lord, Mount Sinai. Israel had come, delivered out of the kingdom of the devil, right? Delivered out of slavery to Pharaoh, brought to the holy mountain where God himself is present, and Moses came down with God's law and found them worshipping an idol. Drawn back up the mountain by God's command, Moses would then ask the Lord, please show me your glory. And the Lord would tell him that I will make all my goodness pass before you, will proclaim to you my name, the Lord. But you will not see my face, for man cannot see my face and live. So the Lord took Moses and put him in the cleft of the rock, covered his hand, and he paraded his glory in front of Moses by parading his name in front of Moses, glorifying his name. And what was that name? The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, bearing iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. God glorified his name then so that we might understand when he glorified it on Good Friday. Jesus is the means by which God shows his steadfast love and compassion. He is the one who bears iniquity, and he is the one who was not cleared of guilt, but bore your guilt so that you would be forgiven. This is the glory of God's name. The crowds start to be curious at this point in Jerusalem. Now is the judgment of this world, Jesus says. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I'm lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. On that cross, Jesus would bear the sin of the world and be judged for the sin of the world. And on that cross, Jesus would take all the accusations of the devil, the ruler of this world, take all those accusations and condemnations for sin into himself so that the devil would have no power over you. Satan would be cast out of the heavenly courtroom because he has no evidence to offer anymore. Jesus paid for all of that sin. But the crowd's wondering, lifted up from the earth? This is what the Christ is? This is what the Son of Man is about to die? No, we heard that he would remain forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is the Son of Man? To which Jesus says, the light is among you for a little while longer. Think of him bearing that life in himself. And now, as it becomes clear that his path leads only and unswervingly to a cross, the people cringe back. That's not what I signed up for. I see the signs. I want the glory. I want the happiness that he promises to give. I want the healing that he promises to give, but not in this way. Even many of the leaders believed in him, but they did not confess it because they were afraid of losing what they thought they had. Being put out of the synagogue, losing their place in polite society, losing their power, losing their position. And we're afraid for the same reasons. If you would be where he is, you must know that you will face a cross. Anyone who tries to love his life in this world will lose it. But if you want the life of Jesus, you must be prepared to die. You must be prepared to give up your reputation, to give up your possessions, to give up all of your comforts and idols. You must be prepared to give up the idea of yourself as a good person, as righteous enough to make God happy. You must be ready to confess yourself the chief of sinners, deserving of the death that Jesus died. It is the only way ahead. This is the glory of God given to you. This is the name of God laid on you at your baptism. That's why every little infant is marked with a cross, that they might die in this man, so they might live with this man. Good Friday is coming. Death is coming. But it is not the end. Not the end of Jesus. Not the end of you. Will you trust him that that is the truth? Will you trust him as you follow him and his light reveals the future that lies ahead of you? Will you trust him and follow him even to death, trusting that the light of Easter dawn will come for you too? Follow this man. Not just through the streets of Jerusalem and the glories of the crowds. Follow this man through the cross. Follow this man and die in his death and give up your sin, give up the glories of this world so that you may gain his life. And to follow him to the cross, into the tomb, and out of it. The only light of this world, ultimately, is the one who lightens Easter morning with his own life. That life is yours. Follow him, and you will see it. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We stand to sing.